Blog Talk Radio.
We welcome the night.
All the latest movies and news from the world of horror. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host, Ian. Ian, are you there?
I am.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
It's a brand new year, and we have shit to talk about. We didn't do a year in 2019 year in review, and that was a decision on my part, because due to the fact that we have short shows now because of issues of Blog Talk issues, I just decided 20 minutes, how we're doing these shows now, is not long enough to do a year in review, so I had to skip over, and we took that week off, and we're going to be going full throttle for the month of January, because there's nothing but horror stuff for the entire month. Starting with what we're going to be reviewing tonight, next week is Underwater, and then there's The Turning, and then there's Gretel and Hansel. So there's that'll be into February. That'll be into February, the first week of February when we review that one. So we got a lot of stuff to discuss, and we have to start it with this, Ian. Okay, The Grudge 2020. Okay, Ian, I really don't. Okay, so here's the thing. It's a new decade, and for some fucking reason, they decided, hey, you know what would be a good idea? Let's remake or reboot The Grudge, you know, because it came out in the turn of the century, in the early thousands, right? We can do that in the early 2020s, okay? Well, no, we won't do it at the start. We'll do it at the very beginning of 2020. And this time, let's make it R-rated. Let's add blood and gore. But let's not do a single fucking thing with it. let's not do anything productive. Let's just make a shitty movie. And that's what they did. They took a decent director who did The Eyes of My Mother, which is a film I liked. It's a very downbeat type of film, but it's a very, you know, pretty good little indie movie. And so they get one of these, yeah, you know, sort of well-known, or that's what they've been doing here recently, is taking a low-budget indie filmmaker. I mean, Hollywood indie, you know, not like indie on our show, but Hollywood indie, low-budget indie horror movie director. And they give him a budget and, like, say, hey, here, take the reins of this. You know, they did it before with when the like Mike Flanagan, he did it, you know, all his stuff, but he at least knows how to fucking direct stuff. And then the guy who did Lights Out, and then Annabelle Creation, all that stuff. So like to give him to, you know, like take the reins to this big franchise, right? And so that's what they did with the director of The Eyes of My Mother. And they gave him The Grudge, and he wrote the screenplay, and he, you know, of course, he wrote and directed it. And I guess we'll just get into it. So technically, this takes place around the same time, I guess. So we have this lady who is in Tokyo or in Japan, or the original house of The Grudge, or Ju-on, wherever you want to call it. I'm just going by American version, all right? So American Grudge. And she leaves the house, and again, I don't know how, but whatever, it's stupid. So she leaves the house, and she looks at the garbage bag, and it starts to move, right? And then she goes home to somewhere in the United States. I don't even think they even mentioned it. If they did, it totally passed me by. So some rural, you know, country town house, and she goes back to her husband and her daughter and proceeds to somehow the grudge, again, attaches itself to you now, when that was not the case in the American Grudge, you know, because when Sarah Michelle Gellar went in there and she came in and out, she didn't have no fucking, you know, Sudoku or Kayako, whatever grudge lady, grudge child hanging on to her when she's out and about.
Plot of the third movie.
Yeah. So now she brings the grudge, or the spirit of the grudge, which is basically now instead of and it the effects of the first film, or the American Grudge, where the man killed his wife and child, happens in this house with her now. So her husband gets crazy, kills her and kills her daughter. So now there's a daughter instead. And so now, instead of a creepy, you know, croaking woman and, you know, bowl cut child, little boy, there's a 9-year-old girl with long hair. And now we have like interlocking stories, which is sort of similar to Ju-on, instead of the, you know, American Grudge, where it's like all these interlocking stories that takes a place around this house, instead of just like one central character. But we do have one central character, and that's Detective Muldoon. She is a detective, and she has a son, and she is sort of assigned to this case, to this house, because of everything. You know, there's a backstory to this house, and that's where we get our interlocking stories. And we have the interlocking stories is, again, the girl, the initial one with the death and the girl, the daughter being killed, and has the ghost now, the grudge is her. Then we have John Cho's character, who is, him and his wife are real estate agents, and he's trying to sell the house. And then we have Lin Shaye and her husband, who live in the house. And she is the husband. It's an interracial relationship, and she's sort of gone crazy, and he wants to help. He gets help called to basically assisted suicide, to see if she is eligible for the assisted suicide. And so there's that story, and then there's the other detective that is working with Muldoon. There's a officer. He's like throughout the whole thing, like, don't go in that house. Don't go in that house. Don't go in the house. Don't go in the house. Well, she goes into the house. And like, there's another interlocking story with his other partner who went into the house. And then basically something happened to him where now he's locked up. And so there's all these interlocking stories, and none of it really fucking matters, honestly. It's just, it's not a good movie. I mean, they took something that, I mean, honestly, the American Grudge, I rewatched it in preparation for this, for the new one last week, and even that wasn't really all that good. I mean, it's there. I mean, you can see where it influenced, you know, going back on it, where it influenced all the early thousands movies, you know, Hollywood horror stuff, J-horror stuff around that time. You just, like, see where it influenced it, and it got a lot of, you know, other directors and low-budget stuff. You can just see where it set the bar, sort of, for that time period, and you can just see it. I mean, overall, it's still not a good movie. I mean, honestly, after rewatching it, because it's been a long time since I've seen The Grudge, and I watched the uncensored director's cut, which has more, sort of, more violence to it, and you see, like, the missing jaw girl, and you see that a little bit longer. But there's, like, again, it's still not, you know, not a good movie. But, you know, it's there for what it is for that certain time period. The Ring, American Ring, is better than American Grudge, in my opinion. Just arguing back on what I remember of everything. But yeah, this one, like, they decided, let's make it R, and they go for, you know, blood and gore, and they just don't do anything with it. It's just there. You know, it's like, so, you know, all matter, no substance, or whatever the saying is. There's just nothing really there. I mean, yeah, it's cool to see, you know, you've watched the Red Band trailer, you pretty much see most of the gore. I mean, there's a few shots here and there. I mean, like seeing a lady cut her fingers off, yeah, it's cool, whatever. But is there substance there? There's no substance. It's just there for shock value. And that's what I think, like, a lot of this film was trying to do, is to try to make it, like, shocking instead of giving it an actual story. And overall, it just makes it a dull and sort of really boring movie because it's forgettable. I mean, honestly, at least the American Grudge is, you know, you can remember it and, you know, the, you know, her come down the stairs and the noises. There's hardly even any noises, you know, croaking sounds in this one. I mean, again, you don't have no wife coming down the stairs. You don't have the white kid. You just have a long-haired girl. And, like, that's been done to death. And, like, in 2020, we don't need to see that shit again. And even with, again, like, you could have done something with the violence, with the gore, but they don't. I mean, it's just there. I mean, all the interlocking stories is just like, yeah, it's just more violent now. Like, now you're going to get to see him beat his wife's head in into the bathtub, or, you know, someone falling from a great height and splatter, you know, just blood balloon almost when they hit the floor. And they just don't do anything. And, like, it's just, like, it just does not – you just, like, well, that was just a waste. Like, at least come out with something, you know, like, okay, let's have this idea. Let's do something with it. Let's make it interesting. Let's get the viewer interested. You know, at least with the, you know, again, American Grudge. I mean, it had a decent story throughout. I mean, you were wondering about everything. And it has a decent payoff, you know. This one is just the story, the interlocking stories are just dull. I mean, and they just don't really go anywhere. And then, like, because, like, she's, like, reading all this through, you know, paperwork and files and everything, reading up on this and stories. And, like, and she's, like, she went into the house now, like, she's getting, you know, the Grudge is attaching itself to her, and, like, she's trying to save her son, but then she's going to try to do something with the house and, like, try to stop it like normal. But they don't, it just doesn't really go anywhere. And it's just a mess. I wouldn't really say it's a mess, but it's just dull. And it's not very good. I mean, it could have been, don't get me wrong, it could have been, like, if it was, I don't know what they could have done, though, because there's just, like, so much that's just not, like, I don't know, they could have done, I don't know, it just wasn't very good, and it was just, it was boring, and I would say, like, some are going to say it's like a slow burn. It's not even a slow burn. Half the time I was sitting there, I was like, oh, my God, I want this to be over. And it's just, like, a lot of stuff, just nothing happens. Like, oh, she's walking up the steps. She's in the house now. There's something creepy there. And, like, even the jump scares are not even really jump scares because, like, they tone it down. And instead of, like, a big, loud boom, it's, like, a little small, like sort of like a breath, in a sense, where it goes, ah, something like that. And it's just like that didn't even work, you know. Like, at least go full throttle with it if you're going to go with the gore and blood, and just make it like fucking balls to the wall, you know. But, you know, you can make a ghost story that's really bloody. I mean, there was one that came out around that time during the American Grudge called Boo with Dee Wallace, and that's a bloody ghost story. That had some good gore to it. Like, people's arms were, like, falling off, and they're hitting walls, and, like, their arms were exploding. I mean, that's pretty. It was a pretty decent little gory ghost movie. But there's, like, again, this one just doesn't really do anything. And it's, yeah, I'm not really, I kind of knew that. Like, you got to have more substance to this, and it just, it wasn't anything. I mean, it made $11.4 million. So I don't know if that's – I don't know its budget, but, I mean, that's normal. You know, if you hit $10 million, that's pretty much – or 13, 10 to 13, that's normal nowadays with horror stuff. So, yeah, I mean, I really wouldn't recommend this, and unless you want to go take a nap because it's really what you would want to do is go take a nap because it's just – it's not an interesting watch. It's just – by the numbers, I mean, added blood and gore doesn't really do anything. I mean, it's cool to see someone cut their fingers off in a ghost movie, or all the other things, or the blood balloons, you know, people exploding, you know, all that stuff. But it's just like it doesn't do anything. And I mean, and that's coming from a series. It's the American side is still not very good. I mean, Grudge 2, the American Grudge 2 was not even that great. Grudge 3, which I still haven't seen. You've seen the. Probably worse than that. I don't know. Yeah, but Ian, that's what's your opinion on my thoughts of the, you know, what's your take?
It sounds better than the third movie. God, that movie was trash. This was. I mean, I'm glad I didn't see it. I actually the other day I was like, I went up walking to the theater, which is an hour and a half walk, because there was a ramen noodle house that opened up, and I wanted to check it out. And I was like, oh, I'm going to see if that movie's on. And it wasn't. And I was like, I'll just have to wait for the review, and I'm so glad I didn't go. I didn't.
Yeah, that's another thing. Like, it wasn't even showing at my normal theater. Like, it was my second go-to theater, the one I saw the Lighthouse at. So, like, not even the big, you know, like, I guess, didn't get a big enough release either, which is saying something, you know, when it's not even in all theaters, you know, it's just in select theaters. It's just fucking stupid. But I get, you know, they kind of knew, I get it. I mean, it's a January movie. I mean, it's the very first release of January. So they kind of knew, like, all right, let's just throw this under the bus. Let's try to make a little bit of the money off of it and just kind of forget it. Yeah, they didn't do. They didn't. I mean, I don't know. They just like give these directors, and there had to be some kind of, you know, hands in the kitchen messing around with it too, because like there's definitely parts where like, because it's from the eyes of my mother, director, and I just like he had to know, you know, and had a good idea of what he wanted to do, because again, he wanted to make it R and everything like that. But there had to be someone just messing around with things. And just, like, moving things around or doing something, because it just feels that way. Because it's just, like, I'm not going to say it's, like, disjointed, because it is. It's sort of like the, you know, Ju-on, where it's, like, intersecting stories. But there's something that was just not right. And it kind of shows. Because he's a competent filmmaker. He knows he has a, you know, good story. If you watch The Eyes of My Mother. So it just... This is just one of those. It's like the Spirig brothers. You know, they did Undead, and then they did like Daybreakers, and then now they're doing like all those, you know, like Winchester and Jigsaw. It's like, oh God, just go back to doing like original stuff, you know, and you know, do more like Predestination, do more Undead, you know, and just like they're not getting the film projects that they should get. And it's just, it's not very good. It's like, you know, I don't know what it is. It's just like, they're not letting them have the free, of course, it's not that the 70s or 80s where you're giving directors the free reins to do whatever they wanted to do. But yeah, this one I don't recommend, honestly. It's not very good. It's boring. It's dull. And it's just not, it's not really memorable. I mean, I was thinking, you know, this, the past few days building up to this review, and even today I was like, okay, I'm trying to think of, like, all the interlocking stories. I was like, okay, there's this character, that character, Lin Shaye, John Cho, the detective, his past detective friend who's locked up in a, as an asylum, and then this part and that part. And it's just like, I'm even thinking I'm missing a part, because I know they have, like, the assisted suicide with Lin Shaye and her husband, and then, like, the assisted suicide curator who's there to look over everything. Like, something happens to her, which I don't even fucking remember. So there's, like, there's parts of, like, it doesn't stick, and it's just, like, it's there and gone, you know? It's just one of those watches where you're just, like, where did it go? You know, that's just a waste of money, because you can't fully remember it. And,
yeah,
you know, and I'm and we're pretty good when it comes to remembering stuff. We can remember stuff when we first did the show and, like, farther back. But, like, this is just one of those where it's just going to, like, oh, yeah, Grudge, that happened.
Right. And, I mean, the only reason why Grudge 3 is partially rememberable is just because of how absurd it was.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, if I'm not mistaken, it was a direct-to-DVD. Like, I think it was when Redbox was first, like, coming out, and my buddy and I, when I was, like, 18, oh, God, it was a long time ago, we were just looking at movies, and it said Grudge 3, and him and I were, like, really big into it at the time, because we didn't know better, and it was just, it was, we were both just dumbfounded by how terrible this movie was, like, the production value went, like, way down. So at least it sounds like it might be.
And there's, like, continuity errors, too. I mean, I didn't mean to. I'm just, like, thinking everything's starting to rush into me. Like, the ghost is, like, supposed to, you know, attach itself to you. Like, it's attached itself to all these other people. It doesn't attack the husband, but it attacks, you know, the interracial husband, right? And he lives in the house. It's at Lin Shaye. And then, like, there's all these people coming, you know, the coroners and all that coming, and the police officers coming and getting the bodies. And, like, it's not attaching or killing them. It's just, like, certain people it's, you know, targeting.
I think
it's just, like,
actually does explain that in the third movie. Like, why? I think it's, like, it has to still find some kind of connection to you. But at the end of the third movie, it's, like, because the house burns down in the second one, so, like, it follows them back to America, and it literally haunts this entire apartment complex. And, like, I think it possesses some, I don't know, it was a really big mess. But I think it talked about that, like, you have to have some kind of spiritual connection to it. Like, you have to be going through something similar.
Well, honestly, it doesn't even do that. I mean, I would understand that. I would. But it does nothing. It does nothing to explain that. There's just, like, points of this movie that doesn't even make sense. But it's not worth the time. I mean, honestly, like, again, like, the bodies or something are in, like, I don't know why the bodies would be in a bag and on the street in Tokyo outside the house, but, like, somehow it touches her, I guess, and that's how it transfers everything to her, to America, and then the killings, and then, like, again, that happened. Sort of what happens, and you mentioned in Grudge 3, there's a fire at the end of this one, spoilers, and that doesn't fucking help with the fucking ending it has. I don't know. It's dumb. I don't want to get into it anymore. It's not worth your time, so skip this one. Just don't. I mean, it's going to be gone probably this week, if it isn't already. It's going to be like Black Christmas, here 2 weeks, and then it's gone. But, Ian, anything else before we call this a show?
Not really. I mean, honestly, this is exactly what I expected when I saw the announcement for it. Like, honestly, all the other horror movies, minus a couple that you brought up that's coming out soon, none of them look worthwhile. I didn't really... Like, I wasn't wowed by the Gretel and handful. I think I said that wrong. Whatever. I don't care enough. But yeah. It's just kind of disappointing, but I guess that's what you get in the beginning of this year. But hey, at least we're getting more than one movie.
Yeah. I mean, where was that at in October? Did we even get one in October? I think we got one, and then we got one in December. Maybe, I don't think we got any in November. I can't even remember. But I know we did a few.
Yeah.
But this one, 4 or 5 horror movies to start out the year with. It's gonna, and all of them's interesting. You know, interesting anyway. We're gonna have a underwater creature feature next week, and then
I'm excited about that.
Turn of the Shrew reimagining, or not? What was that?
What?
The Innocents reimagining the week after that, and then of course Gretel and Hansel, and then it just keeps going. I think, and then we have The Boy 2, I think that's in April or March, and then, so I don't know. There's a lot of stuff interesting coming out, you know. So that's going to do it. So next week is our review of Underwater. So thanks, everyone, for listening. Ian, I will talk to you next time. And peace.
Now can't control the rain. A shame, seeded from plain fire.